The GAA program with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gee, Vargas Falchuk, Gee and Clark coming, Luke Clascale, a shock than a shoulder. Meet Tom Comack. It's just gone 8:30 and I'm with you until 9 o'clock, as always on a Wednesday night. And, well, this week the main concentration, of course, is on Saturday's Croke Park double bill meeting of Donegal and Cork in the Electric All Ireland Minor Football Championship quarter final and Donegal and Cork in the All Ireland Senior Football Championship fourth round qualifier. To look ahead to both games, I'm joined by Frank Craig of the Donegal Post and Paddy Palmer of Cork County Sound. Well, Paddy, as always, delighted to have you. All roads leading to Croke Park up here in the northwest at the weekend. I'm sure it's the same for Cork, with both minor footballers and senior footballers playing Donegal. Before we look forward to the big game, which obviously is the senior game, tell me a little about your minor team.
Yeah, look, like all counties, there was a lot of work went into this particular team, a fairly dedicated group in charge of them. Interestingly enough, of the starting 15, 8 of them come from one section of Cork in the West Cork area. Unlike the past couple of years where, I don't know what it's like in Ulster, but in Munster the competition is set up in such a way that if you lose a first round game, you get a second chance. But if you lose a semi-final, you're part of that scene. But the very fact that the Cork minor team were lucky enough to win their first two games, they got to the Munster final, performed rather poorly, it must be said, against a good enough Kerry side. But they welcome the opportunity that, you know, that they'll be able to play Donegal next Saturday. They'll play a match in Croke Park, and, you know, that's a big thing, I suppose, for minors. So from that point of view, they're happy that they've gone further than the minor teams for the past two seasons. At the start of the year, you know, you hear stories that this is the best minor team that ever left the county, but that wasn't said about this particular group of players. You know, they're very much an even team, and quite a lot of them would come from clubs that you may not have heard of in the past. A lot of them would come from the smaller clubs, particularly in the West Cork area. I think there's about three city players altogether where the big clubs are. So it's different from that point of view. But as I say now, Tom, they were disappointing against Kerry. I remember doing that a match on radio, and early on it looked like they were going to be a run over, but they benefited from a few fortuitous goals. They have a handy enough two players inside the full forward line. One in particular, Mark Buckley, is a good player. But they'll be obviously up against Donegal being the Ulster champions. But of course, minor teams take on a life of their own. And I suppose the one thing about about losing a provincial final, the fact that the players do get another chance, maybe they cast off the shackles and maybe play with a little bit more abandon. So they, I suppose, going into this game, they don't have a huge amount to lose.
And I suppose, obviously, no dual distractions, because Cork minor hurlers are gone.
Yes, and interestingly enough, as you mentioned, that the powers that be, and I think it was the minor footballers, actually for the first time ever took a decision not to include hurlers, dual players in their midst. And every other year since I've been around these paths, they have been dual operators, but I suppose they can see up the line that it's nearly impossible to mix the two games at senior level, and now they're looking at reducing it at minor level. So there's, in the past, what you'd have said would have been totally right, that that with the hurlers gone, the dual players would come back and they'd be able to concentrate on football mostly, but that wasn't the case this year. There is no football, there's no minor hurler whatsoever involved with the football team.
Anyway, so much for the minors. As we said, the big game is Donegal and Cork in the senior game. Seem to have recovered from that shock first round defeat to Tipperary.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I would think, though, that as is well known at this stage, GAA and Cork at the moment doesn't seem to be going that well in terms of inter-county teams. Their championships are well structured and they run okay, but the county teams, and obviously, as you well know, hurling is the big game down in this part of the country. And between the four teams that contested the championship this year, between minor, under 21, intermediate hurling, and senior hurling, They only won one championship match, that a minor game against Waterford. So there's a huge amount of gloom about the performance of the hurlers. And if there's gloom about the hurlers, there's even further gloom about the football team. They've always been the poor relation. They were relegated in the league, and that was the first time that has happened for quite a while. And then when they played Tipperary, you know, to be beaten by Tipperary for the first time in 72 years, I think, or thereabouts, I think 1944 was the last time that that happened. You know, like there was a huge, I suppose, fallout from that. I won't say that's probably exaggerated a bit, because that would imply that there was a huge interest in the first place. And the fact that, you know, Tipperary are a county that are at loggerheads with each other as well as regards the dual situation down there. I mean, the Tipperary County Board this year insisted at minor level that none of their minor hurlers would be available to the footballers. They were, I suppose, concerned over the past couple of years there's been a growth in football in Tipperary. But what made it worse, I suppose, from a cop point of view, was that if it was a Tipperary team that had all their players available, you know, besides players going to Australia, players going to America, two players going to the senior panel, I think it would be fair to say the cop would have been up against it. But when Tipperary were missing so many of their players, it did constitute a major shock. And then they came back in the back door, if you like, through the qualifiers, played Limerick. And with all due respect, Limerick are really, really in a poor state at the moment. And Cork played poorly against them. Then they travelled to Longford. I suppose the unique thing about Longford was the first time that there was ever a championship match between these two counties. And a number more than normal travelled of Cork supporters. I was actually surprised at that. They performed abysmally in the first half, scored 3 points, and honestly, Tom, at half-time, the thought of being beaten by Roscommon or by Longford looked a really live threat. And Longford, I know now they beat Monaghan and Down before that, but like, to be fair, they had a Division 3 side. Cork should be beating them. In the end, they made a few changes at half-time, and they got over the line. The Cork public haven't bought into them. They're no way coming to Ducks and Tomboy saying they're playing an All-Ireland, you know, qualifier against Donegal. And, you know, like that in itself has to be seen as a bit of progress. And how Donegal respond to defeat against Tyrone will have a huge bearing. And,
tell me, Owen Carrigan and Aidan Walsh drafted into the squad. They had opted to play with the hurlers this year or give their allegiance to the hurlers. First of all, how has that gone down?
Yeah, well, not Owen Carrigan, Alan Carrigan.
Alan Carrigan, sorry.
Yeah, Alan Carrigan. I think some people were surprised by that move. Now, on a personal level, I think Alan Carrigan in particular is a guy who can add greatly. Aidan Walsh, some people will tell you like that he needs to be playing football all the time. You know, there was no doubt in 2010 he was a great player, but he's played very little football. I think they were added to the panel. There was probably some consultation. They were not meant... And nor were they on the panel for the match against, even though they were added to the panel, they weren't even in Longford the night of the Longford game. Aidan Walsh actually played a club holding match that night in Cork. And the team hasn't been selected yet. Whether they'd be part of it, I don't think they will start. But I'm not close enough to the camp to see what effect that had on it. You know, but Alan Carrigan in particular, he's a really, really good fast forward. And Tom, you're following this thing for a lot more than a lot of us. Like, Gaelic football is hugely about pace and speed today. And they have brought in one or two players from the under-21 squad. A young lad called Sean Powter. He's did his leaving stuff this year. He was brought in. Michael Hurley, who's a brother of Brian Hurley's. And against Longford, their pace did make a difference in it. And, you know, like that is one of the problems with maybe some of the older Cork players, that they'd lost that little bit of an edge, and maybe they were never the pacier team of all time. But the introduction of some of those young fellas is, you know, gives some cause for hope, if you like.
Because there are quite a lot of changes. You know, I know they played earlier in the league and in Ballyshannon at the very start of the year. But when we go back to 2012 and Donegal and Cork and that All Ireland semi final, quite a lot of changes, a lot of new faces into the Cork team from since then, and of course a new manager as well.
Yeah, and you know, and some of them have come through the underage setup. But it's interesting that. When Colm O'Neill, who was there in 2012, and Patrick Kelly, who's been really dogged by injury for the past couple of years. When they were in Petrus at half-time against Longford, that's when the game changed somewhat. And Patrick Kelly in particular has, if he's around the place, you remember him playing.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys that, he's seriously into spatial awareness, picking out other players. He's a big part of their team. But, he's not operating at the level that he was in 2010 and 2012. But, yeah, you're right. They have brought in a number of younger players. And Noel Gallivan has come in at cornerback. He's a bit of a tenacious defender. And, there's a obviously James Loughry. And I know they were thinking about appealing that red card incident. He got a yellow card first against Longford, and then the referee showed him a straight red, my apologies. He would be a bit of a loss as well the next day, were he not to start. But yeah, there are a number of changes on the team. But like the very fact
are Patrick Kelly and Colm O'Neill likely to start this time?
I would think they are. Like Colm O'Neill, against Limerick, when he didn't start against Longford, there was, people were saying, where is Colm O'Neill and why was he started? But to be fair, against Limerick, Colm didn't perform as he should perform. And whether he can, this young man has come back from three cruciate ligament operations, and that's a huge challenge for any player. If he was there, he would be a major addition to him, particularly kicking frees and that kind of thing. Daniel Gould started the last day in 13. It didn't work out for Daniel. Donegal people will remember him. He was a very good player. So Colm O'Neill, I think, will start the next day. And I would think that Patrick Kelly will. Look, the way that team managements operate today, they have their own reasons for doing things. And there was a time when we had all the stories of what was happening in training, who was flying in training. Those days are well gone.
You have that down there as well, have you? And tell me.
But there is one difference, though. Tell me, Donegal, and I've a friend who travelled up there a couple of weeks ago on holidays, and he was completely taken by, the interest in Gaelic football and the way they have posters up wishing players the best of luck. There's a serious number of the Cork public. I suppose it's the fact that there are so many other sports down here. There's a number of Cork athletes going to the Olympics, for example. Mm. You have a number of, I know you've...
We have three or four as well.
There's a whole plethora of sports, and football is down the line.
Mm.
So there is never, I would imagine, that if there was big news that a major player was not playing for Donegal or was disciplined, if Michael Murphy was not playing for Donegal because he broke some rules, God almighty, the county would be going ballistic. In Cork, honestly, no, Tom, they don't have that interest in it.
Hmm.
Now if they win, obviously, then some people would be on the bandwagon and they'd be going to an All-Ireland quarter-final. But,
and tell me...
They don't travel with a huge amount of hope for this game on Saturday.
And tell me, in terms of Donegal, how would Donegal be viewed in Cork?
Well, there's a huge admiration for Donegal football, and I know that sometimes that they talk about that Jim McGuinness and Donegal put these defensive systems in place, but, the players that are like Patrick McBrearty, I remember him playing against Cork in an All-Ireland vocational schools. And there's a young fella that he was marking that day. I still think he hasn't recovered from the damage that was inflicted. But watching Patrick McBrearty and watching all these Donegal players over the past couple of years, there'd be huge admiration for them. And even though they were beaten by Tyrone in the Ulster final, the football followers down here would have nothing, only admiration for what football means to Donegal people and the Donegal players. You probably don't realise it in your own county. These are household names. And I know some of them are probably moving towards the end of their time. But they're seen as a serious football team. And they're a top eight team. And they may not win in All-Ireland. They may not win in one again for another 20 years. But at this moment in time, Donegal football is in a good place, and from our perspective, Donia, we'd be absolutely delighted, those of us that are into football, if it enjoyed the same reverence, shall we say, down here as it does in Donegal, we'd be really happy people. And there's huge admiration for young players.
And in light of the season and the way it's gone, do you think that the Cork team and the Cork squad have much of an appetite for Saturday's game?
Well, to be fair, no, they probably would, because I remember meeting them after the Longford game, and there was so much relief that day. I must take you back to half-time in that match. 3 points, Tom. On a beautiful day for Gaelic football. They were using long ball in to Peter Kelleher, who's only 20 years of age. And a bit like the Waterford hurlers, he was a lone trader up front. And I remember the real humiliation came from when, I think on two occasions, he was blown for over-carrying the ball. And that's really frustrating. But the problem was there was nobody up around him, and Lawford were able to get two players back on him like a shot. So there they were going to dressing room at half-time. The very fact that they came out and they won the game reasonably well in the end, I think, you know, was a sense of relief to them. And they will, I think they'll be in good shape psychologically. That would be my understanding of it, going to Croke Park. Maybe in one sense that this might be where they have a little advantage over Donegal. I mean, I don't know what happens now in these training camps in the week after. The fact that Donegal have 13 days as well is should be seen as a plus. I would think, though, that if it was only a 6-day turnaround, and like the Ulster Championship is serious currency. Like, it's probably the most coveted provincial championship in Ireland. The fact that they didn't win it, you know, may play on them a little bit. And it could, Tom, and like, listen, if the two of us were any greater experts, we might have different occupations, but it may come down to that. If we had two sports psychologists talking about this, they may better inform our listeners, your listeners, but it could come down to that. And I would think that Cork will be in good psychological shape. What have they to lose at this stage? Do you know what I mean? They got over the match against Lawford. If they're beaten against Donegal, there's absolutely no shame whatsoever in that, but to travel down the road to be beaten by Longford.
And tell me, finally, before we let you go, in terms of you said they played Peter Kelleher up on his own in the first half, I presume they reverted to more conventional style in the second?
Yeah, they took him off, actually. And he's a really nice young fella and a good footballer. But you can go at that. Very few teams go at that today. You can see that yourself. Like, if you're going to use a big man up front, you'd want to have some players running off him. So I think there'll be a change there, and that's where maybe the likes of Patrick Kelly and Colm O'Neill, if they're playing. Now, I'm not saying that Peter Kelleher won't be playing, but I would hope that they wouldn't use that system the next day.
Look at Paddy, lovely to talk to you as always, and the best of luck, and shall we see you Saturday?
God bless you, take care.
And now we're joined by Frank Craig, sports editor of the Donegal Post. And Frank, what's the word coming out of the Donegal camp this week?
The word's very quiet, Tom. We'll say, like myself, you probably realise that they're trying to get some copy filed. But just listening and talking to Martin McElhaney, who was at the preview, I suppose, or the launch in Croke Park last week. I was listening to a recording from that today. And I suppose saying the right things and putting the right sound bites out there. But as we've seen over the last couple of years, Tom, it's proved very hard for Donegal to lift it coming into the qualifiers or through the backdoor system when they've had disappointment in the provincial final. So that's going to be tough, but the great thing, Tom, is the 2-week break. I think that there was crucial.
Yeah. Funny you should mention that, because I'm not sure if you were listening, Paddy Palmer of Cork County Sound was on there, and he was of the opinion that really it will come down to how Donegal have left the Ulster final defeat behind them and lift themselves again for Saturday's game.
Definitely. I mean, the difference between these two sides is that I suppose Cork's provincial exit came back at the semi-final stage at the hands of Tipperary, and since then they've been starting to get a little bit of traction under their belts against Limerick and Longford, so they'll probably be going into the game maybe a lot mentally fresher than Donegal, because, as we've said, and even listened to Martin McElhaney, it's such a blow to lose or miss out on a provincial title that Donegal really set their stalls out from the very start of the year, and they made no apologies about that there, and when their own league form has been criticised. So I think to lose Ulster final, and even the manner that they lost the Ulster final, will really have stung. And I suppose not even
and
this weekend.
I suppose even when you think of a second one in a row as well.
that's a huge blow. And I suppose even for Rory, you know, manager too, it's probably a huge blow. And you couldn't but feel for them that there, they don't, because I think around the 70th minute mark, they're even looking back at the video since there was junctures in that game where Donegal were maybe on the verge of maybe putting a wee bit of even more daylight that was already in at 8-4. And I suppose even looking back over the game now, it was kind of puzzling the way we tailed off at the end. And I suppose even the way we ran the bench or didn't run the bench, you know, reading just a little bit about Cork this weekend, you see that the likes of, I suppose, Colm O'Neill and Paddy Kelly coming on against Longford and making scoring contributions. That's going to be vital in the wide open spaces of Croke Park on Saturday. And it'll be interesting to see how Donegal are faring down that home stretch, because it looked like they did tire a little bit against their own Ulster final.
And, of course, as always happens after when you lose a game, players and management come in for a little bit of criticism. And I suppose especially the style of play and maybe not driving forward and maybe not sending the ball inside to Patrick McBrearty or Michael Murphy when he was inside, and that they were playing quite lateral. Do you think, or is there any indications that maybe there may be a change of heart on that, and that they might go more direct against in Croke Park?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this weekend, Tom. I suppose when we compare 2013's disappointment, I mean, we stumbled over, I think, Laois, but then Mayo really accounted for us in a really forgetful quarter final last year as well. Got past Galway, Mayo accounted for us again. I think this year, Tom, we've been very lucky the last few seasons that a lot of the older brigade have decided to stay on, but there might be a realisation on maybe five or six of those players' parts that this could be their last run at an All-Ireland series, and maybe Donegal can go for broke and let the leashes off a wee. But we're talking about options. There are some exciting and impacting options. I mean, it's been well documented that Leo McLoone hasn't been getting the game. Maybe Leo could finally get sprung this weekend. Somebody like Stephen McBrearty could come in from the cold.
Have you got any indication of what the problem is there? Because nobody else seems to be able to fathom it.
No, everybody has an opinion, everybody has a question about it, but there's no real answer in what is or what isn't happening. I suppose Leo, an experienced player, and you would imagine that he would have been, if not starting, one of the guys to come in. But listen, we can only look at the thing from the outside in, because we aren't getting much information. I suppose Rory and his management team are the guys at training every night, and you have to trust their judgment and hope that they're putting the players or maybe putting their hands up the train. I don't know, Tom. It's only speculation at the minute. But I'd love to see Leo get a game at Croke Park this weekend against Cork, because I think he is one of those players that can break a line. As we've seen against Tyrone the last day, there's something that maybe was missing. Somebody that can take a player on and take a defender or two out of it, or even one or three. And definitely like to see Leo get a run out against Cork. And I think a lot of supporters would as well.
And you mentioned, there's quite a lot of youth on the bench as well. Do you expect to see some of the younger lads, maybe for the wide open spaces of Croke Park?
I would like to see somebody like Stephen McBrearty or even Owen Van Galler, who did get a run the last day, get a wee bit longer, because you have that pace and that injection, even enthusiasm for, you know, a qualifier All-Ireland Series game that maybe some of the older players, you'd imagine after the disappointment, are hurting really bad. Whereas if you hand a young player, maybe, you know, that wants a bit of experience, is looking to make a mark, maybe they'll put their hands up. Because I think in that final 5 or 10 minutes that we've seen against Tyrone, that zip was missing. And somebody like Steve McBrearty, our own Van Galler, who's direct, and suppose eliminate two or three players with a 20 or 30 yard run, it definitely would ask questions of Cork, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, just leaving the senior for a moment, of course, the curtain raiser is a game that we're very interested in as well. It's Donegal Minors against Cork in a minor quarter final. Donegal, the Ulster champions, against the Munster runners up.
Yeah, great to see Donegal won through, and again would have been paired beside Donegal seniors at Croke Park. That's a boost for the side getting, I think, usually for a minor team. I know you mightn't see Croke Park to a semi-final juncture for, so then to get it out the door. And a quarterfinal is great. And it's not just the players too, Tom. You know, Sean Paul Byrd, even Neely Byrne. It'll be great to see them people being part of an occasion like that. Just talking to Sean Paul Byrd this week, the important thing probably is not to let the occasion get them and remember that there's, you know, a job at hand. And I think Cork and Kerry split 6 goals between them in the Munster final, but maybe Kerry still has 5 or 6 points to spare. So I think Donegal won his favours this game, and that might be dangerous too for, you know, young and, I suppose, inexperienced minds in a stage like Croke Park.
And tell me, what do you make of this year's minor team?
I like them, Tom, in a sense that there's a nice balance there. I know they've got some standout stars, the likes of, I suppose, Niall O'Donnell, and even the likes of Jason McGee around the middle. I thought Kieran Gawler, Big G from Glenties, I was very impressed with him in the Ulster semi-final and even the final. And even Owen McGettigan on his day is a game-changer too. Somebody that really impressed me the last day was Patrick Morgan as well, and the role that he was playing within the team. I think there's a nice spread across the side in terms of passengers or weaklings. I don't really see any talk.
Yeah, and they're a big side as well.
Big and physical, and something maybe over the years, I mean, just talking about Cork, and we think back to 2009 when Donegal kind of struggled, you know, for that vertical and very physical and even dynamic Cork side. I think since strength and condition has come in, we've seen the benefits over the last 5 or 6 years. You look at those guys now, Tom, Rory Cavan even talked about it lately. I think when you come into development teams at 16 or 18 now, the strength and condition is there right away, and it obviously starts to reap its rewards when you hit the 17, 18, 19-year-old mark.
We reached an All-Ireland final 2 years ago. Is it putting too much pressure on this team to expect that they're good enough to do that again this year?
Yeah, I think with a minor side, you just throw caution to the wind and you go with a bit of hope and hope that they keep surprising you. You wouldn't like to write about them too much or, as you say, put too much pressure on them and the same kind of scrutiny that you might offer a senior side. But no, I just hope they keep surprising us. I was very impressed with them to date. And even talking to Sean Paul Bard, just the full clean bill of health or close to a clean bill of health. So they should be fit. Everything's in place for them to put their best foot forward against Cork on Saturday.
Okay. Anyway, back to the senior. We talked to maybe who you'd like to see the changes or maybe see changes. Do you expect to see changes?
It's really hard to know, Tom. As I said, chatting to Martin McElhenney or listening to Martin McElhenney, you're not going to, I suppose, hear too much in terms of what player personnel are going to come in. I know Martin himself was named on the original side in the programme to start the Ulster final, and it was probably a surprise to us all that he was the one that gave way eventually to accommodate the suspended or return and Neil McGee, so Kieran Gillespie could also be involved. So, no, there is some big decisions to be made there, and I suppose we'll ultimately only find out, even if we do get a team, Tom, Friday or early Saturday morning, we'll only really find out closer to throw-in time what Rory decides to go with.
And the reality is, Frank, there's no second chance after this one.
No, the reality is that the reward for either side, if you want to call it that, there is, you know, a 7 day or 6 day turnaround against Dublin right after that there. And I mean, I think Brendan Devaney described it as a very attractive carrot during the week, but the 1 week turnaround is going to be very difficult. It leaves you sapped. You know, if this is a real close game against Cork at the weekend, whatever side comes through, Donegal or Cork are going to really be up against it the week after. But listen, Tom, at this stage, you throw caution to one against Cork, and hopefully we do come out to the end of it. The experience that maybe some of those players will get, as we said, going forward, because ultimately we will lose players, I would say, this year. But the guys that we've seen maybe on the periphery of not just the squad, match day squad, but the panel this year, will probably come into focus from, you know, obviously next January on, where there will be a bit of rebuilding to be done.
And fair to say it's a big game in terms of Rory Gallagher and his management as well, isn't it?
Well, that's it too. I suppose, you know, the worst thing about sport is that you're probably judged in silverware, but I think Donegal, even after Jim McGuinness, was always going to be a transitional period. And people look at transition maybe in a negative sense, that it has to be at the expense of silverware. But I think we've seen in the last two Ulster finals, even with players, you know, coming in, we've had good minor under-21s this last few years. I think we shouldn't have to be that far away, even if it is a case over the next season or two of blooding players. We've seen there's some very exciting under-21 and minor talent. So it'll be interesting going forward to see if, you know, Donegal do lose at the weekend, what Rory's intentions are. But fingers crossed, we don't want to cross that bridge till it comes.
Look, thanks again, Frank, for joining us. Well, there, the clock is about to beat us tonight here. That's it from me from the GA programme from this week. My thanks to Frank Craig, their sports editor of the Donegal Post. And before that, we heard from Paddy Palmer of Cork County Sound. We're down in the south of the country looking forward to that double bill of Donegal versus Cork in the minor and senior quarter-final in the minor and quarter-final qualifier in the senior in Croke Park on Sunday afternoon. And just to remind you once again, if you can't make it to Croke Park on Sunday, you can hear the games live here, both minor and senior, in their entirety on Saturday Sport with Oisín Kelly and Martin McHugh for this minor game, and Oisín Kelly and Declan Boner for the senior game. But for me, Tom Comack, until next week, on Clare Cumann and Luke Laskin, you'll Sláinte agus Bean.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. With great value footwear, sports and leisure wear across all leading brands. Gear up for life at michaelmurphysports.ie.